I'd like to again ask for your strong prayer support. I know it's important. I feel a tremendous responsibility in what the Lord has asked me to do. This week, I will be in Florida on Wednesday. And then on Thursday and Friday, I'm going to be in Washington, D.C. for this meeting. And I want you to definitely pray. I don't know what the total outcome will be, but I am praying that God will use this to make some kind of an impact, to clinch some things. Every senator, every congressman has, and those who are working in the Capitol buildings, have books that they're reading and have read, and many have been moved on. Trust that the Lord will clinch the truth that has been brought to them in these services. Praise God. I changed the heading of this series because somebody mentioned last week. They said, really, these are more than mountain peaks that we're talking about, mountain peaks of truth. They're literally pillars supporting everything that God's doing, is resting on these truths. And I like the sound of it. So we've changed it. We're on number three of pillars of eternity. Hallelujah. Everything that God is doing and has planned is hinged on and is pertaining some way to man. Can you imagine how great God is with all that he has to do with the trillions and trillions and trillions of stars out there, and there's so much to do, and billions of angels, and is still his highest work is yours? All right, we'll stop for this anytime. Baby Jennifer needs her mommy in the nursery. Babies are important to the Lord, so don't you be embarrassed, and I won't be. But when we think about the fact that with all that God has to do, and think of the expanse of time, how it goes on and on and on, every direction. And in all of this, we're the most important thing that God has to do. People are God's business, God's highest business. When you look in the mirror, you have to quit looking at yourself as some scrub. No good. Fifth string. You're worth so much to God that everything he's doing is based on how he can help you. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. We talked about the value of man. We talked about last week about the death of Jesus, the great time of Passover. And today, I feel that this message is one of the most important of all of these great pillars. When I think about all that God has to do, one of the most important things is making a way where you can come back in and have some fellowship with him. Can you imagine that? With all that God has to do, all the important people that he has to deal with, one of God's pillars of eternity is the fact that he wants to talk with you and have some fellowship with you. That's where communion time is. Your communion means the intermingling of our spirits, our heart. It's a two-way street. It's pretty hard for me to have communion with Nate here if Nate's looking around and has a thousand other things in his mind, and I keep talking to him and I don't get anything back from him. That really isn't communion. That's just talking. But in a service like this, as I minister, and I can feel, I can hear the murmur of agreement, of recognition of God's truth, I know that we're having communion. Hallelujah. And as God has fellowship and speaks to me, and I speak back to Him, and we're having communion, fellowship together. Praise the Lord. This is a high priority with God. It's one of the top ones. There's seven mountain peaks, seven pillars of eternity. And one of the most important, because they're all important, is God says, I must restore communion. Praise the name of the Lord. I'd like to just read a few verses to you. If you have your Bibles, and then we're going to have a terrific time, not only of talking about communion, but we're going to enjoy a great service, which is a victory rally. Victory service is what our communion time is. Genesis, the third chapter, going to read verses 8 through 10 and verses 23 and 24. There was a time when man enjoyed communion with God. It was so rich, it was so wonderful. In the cool of the day, the Father came down, and He walked with Adam and Eve. There was fellowship. And here's, He came again one day, and something had happened. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. I hid myself. Turn over to verse 23 and 24. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Man had wonderful fellowship one time, but fellowship was broken and man walked away from God. He walked and walked and walked, got farther and farther and farther and farther away until man became so depraved, separated from God. But God, in His great plan, laid a plan whereby man could be restored to fellowship. God, in His foreknowledge, we don't have the answers. We cannot second guess God. We don't know why He didn't do things differently, but this is the way He did them. Before the earth was ever made, God, knowing that in this time He wanted people to serve God who wanted. He wanted people in heaven who wanted to be there because they chose to be there. And before God ever made the world, He made a plan whereby fellowship could be restored. Praise God forever. Praise God. Now, for a long period of time, God did not lose touch with man, but man could not come into His presence. He had to have a representative go in from man to God, and that only once a year. Fellowship was broken. Man was away from God. The way was blocked. God had a great veil hung in the tabernacle, also in the temple, that hid the way to God. The high priest went in once a year into that is through that veil into that place to make the sacrifice. Once a year, on the Day of Atonement, God kept touch, kept contact with man, looking forward to a time when the veil would be removed and all mankind could come back into his presence again. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'd like to have you read, turn to Matthew 27, verse 55. In this portion of Scripture, telling about that great sacrifice where Jesus' blood was shed. You see, Jesus, when he died, he not only died one death, he died two deaths. In his physical death, he literally felt the flash of judgment. In that spiritual death, he felt the sting of separation forever. And he tasted that second death for us. In this death, in the verse 55, verse 51, I give you the wrong reference here. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. You notice in verse 50, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Jesus himself, when he died, he had cried, "It's finished," and he died. And when he died, that veil, which was a type of his flesh, of the doorway into God's presence, ripped from the top to the bottom. It was a thick veil. It was very, very heavy cloth, woven, but it wasn't torn as man would tear it. Man could not make a way into God's presence, but God himself reached down those heavy hands, and he tore it open. He said, "It's my plan. It's a pillar of all eternity that I can find a way to restore man back." And here it is. And from the top, God's side, to the bottom, the veil was rent when Jesus died. Hallelujah. And all mankind, Gentiles, Jews, Arabs, whoever, who would come to him, who would come because of that body that was torn. Jesus, in his death, putting their faith in what he has done, the way was open. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's go a little further here. Hebrews 10, 19 and 20. When Paul was in the presence of the Lord, God gave him a beautiful view of this. I just think it's so terrific. The clarity and the unfolding of God's big plan here. He's talking about this very same thing, the death of Jesus. You read in several verses preceding this. In verse 10, for example, Hebrews 10:10, "By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all." I like it even up there in verse 5 where Jesus is speaking, and he said, "A body hast thou prepared me." God's planning was so beautiful that the penalty that was due man could be taken care of. And then in verse 19 and 20, Now, because of what's happened, listen to it. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, the place where God dwells, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Hallelujah. Boldness. How about, have you been there lately? Have you had some communion fellowship with God? Have you just chatted with him? Like, when you chat with a friend. Do you know that stereotyped prayers just don't get the job done? Stiff, formal worship smells in God's nostrils. His great desire is, come, let's talk it over. Hallelujah. Come, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, when you come, they will be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. Can you see how much God loved you? See, his plan was to make the way so you'd come back into his heart. Hallelujah. Don't you love him? Right where you're seated, why don't you just look up and give him a big thanks for what he's done for you? Father, we thank you. We love you. We love you this morning. We're glad that you've made the way whereby we can come and have fellowship again. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Then he tells us that since this is the case, since it's open, verse 23 of Hebrews 10 said, or verse 22, let us draw near. Let's come because he's called us and it's what we need. Draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Then, I want you to notice that the call that God has told us to issue to people is to come into this fellowship. 1 John 1:1-7. And I'd like to have you open your Bibles. There's some beautiful verses here that you'll see you can underline as we go along. Here is the message that God has for the world today. It's for every one of us. Listen to it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, is the first epistle of John, chapter 1. Which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That we're telling you these things. We're writing it, we're declaring it, so you can have fellowship. The result, the purpose of every message that comes with a heartbeat is so you can have fellowship. It's important to God. It's one of the pillars of eternity. That important to him. And then he goes on to say, not only that you might have fellowship, but when you have fellowship, your joy will be full. You can be happy again. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As we're walking arm in arm with Jesus, in fellowship with him, things may fasten themselves upon us, but the great heart of God is beating, 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 and the blood is flowing, flowing.
grip, our cleaning away, our spiritual systems, just as your heart keeps your body clean. It's a cleansing agent. It's a life-giving agent. The blood of God. As long as God's heart is beating, while your faith is in Him, you can be cleansed. Hallelujah. There's cleansing every day, every hour. Hallelujah. When you go to sleep at night, you don't have to go to close your eyes with fear, hoping that if something happens to you and you die before you wake up, your heart keeps on beating all through the night, keeping you cleansed. The blood, Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah.
Praise God for His beautiful plan. Then in Revelation 3:20, Jesus Himself is making a call. And He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with Me."
We'll have some fellowship.
We will have some communion. Praise God. And then He tells us this is so important. Again, we read it in the last chapter of the Bible in verse 17. He said it's so important to have this fellowship. The voice of God reaches out and He says the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." The veil is torn. The barrier has been destroyed. You can come now. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is so active in the world today. It is speaking and ministering to men and women everywhere. And His message is this: come. You can come now. God is inviting you to come and shake hands with Him. Come. Have some fellowship. The Spirit says come. The bride, which is the church everywhere in these days, is echoing the call. Come. Come. God says you can come now. That's why we read over in 1 John 1-7. We're telling you all of these things that you might have fellowship. You might be able to come and have fellowship again with God. Then He went on to say, "Let him that is athirst, let him that heareth say, come." People are hearing the call. They're seeing what God is doing, and they're echoing the words. Then those who are athirst, regardless of where they are, the call goes to them. Come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
I can't help but thinking about the restoration of fellowship through Jesus' death, through His body, as Paul said in Hebrews 10. I can't help but thinking of an incident that I heard one time. There was a problem between a husband and wife, and the problem became so critical that didn't seem as though they could settle it. They lost communication. They lived in the same house for a while, but it was like living with strangers. They got by with yeses and nos. That was about it. They had lost communication. Finally, the husband moved out, You know, it's pretty hard to live in a place. Keep your sanity if you don't have communication. God feels the same way about you. He wants you to communicate with you, see. But the husband moved out. Their little six-year-old girl became very, very ill after they had been separated for a time. And everything was done for her that seemingly could be done. The mother had many, many nights when she could not even sleep because of her little daughter was so sick. The doctor told the mother one day that it didn't seem like there was anything that she responded to, no type of medication. And so he said, it's only a matter of time. Where is your husband? Would you call your husband? The desire of this little girl is that she at least get a chance to see her daddy. A girl didn't know how sick she was, but down inside she may have. So after a little search, they found the father. He came. And the father and the mother still were not speaking. It was embarrassment to the two of them to be in the same room. But the little girl told her mother, "Will you kneel down by my bed?" And she did. She asked her father, "Would you kneel down the other side of the cot?" The father knelt down there. And then, with the last little bit of strength that she had, she reached out to her mother and took her hand. She reached over and she took her father's hand. And with what? A little bit of strength was left in that weakened body. She pulled their hands together and held them there. It was the last thing that little girl ever did. When I read that, it has been numerous times I thought about how God has planned for us. Jesus, on that plan of restoring communication and fellowship, Jesus reached up with his divine hand and took hold of the Father's hand. For God and man were enemies. The Word tells us this. You read it in Romans, the 5th chapter. We were enemies of God. You read it in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. But while we were enemies, we were reconciled by the death of his Son. Jesus reached up and took hold of God's big hand. And with his human hand, he reached down and took hold of ours. And there on the cross, he pulled us together. Hallelujah. And man who was drifting at enmity with God, again, had an open line of communication. Jesus did it. And his death, the most important thing, one of the pillars that supports God's plan for the ages to come, is the fact that he wanted you so badly that he took the very best that he had, Jesus, allowed him to take our place in death, that we might take Jesus' place in God's heart. Doesn't that make you love God? That's what he did for us. That's exactly what he did for us. Today, there's that constant reminder that communication has been restored. I think of the emblems of our communion service. I hear that loud message that because of what these stand for, my sin has been judged on Jesus' body, on God's wrath, God's justice was met when God's wrath struck Jesus. My sins have been judged. Yours have been judged. And you hold that little piece of bread in your hand. God is reminding you that right there, your payment was paid in full. Your debt was paid in full. Hallelujah. Every sin that you could ever commit of all kind, those that will ever be committed, were placed upon him. Your sin was judged there. God, knowing that we would need to be reminded of this, gave us and told us to have services just like this, where we remember when it happened and how it happened. And we can be reminded ourselves, and we can hurl this message in the face of the enemy. As we hold the cup in our hands, we can say, my sins, everyone, have been atoned. My body, my soul, and my spirit can be free because of what Jesus has done. Now, as Paul said, I can come boldly before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. Boldly in fellowship with him. I feel that this service this morning is so important. Many, many people are still living, even believers, as though the veil was still hanging. And they have no fellowship. They still feel that somehow they have to atone for their own sin. They live as though that veil was hanging. Worship is mechanical, a mechanical action, a cold, formal, lifeless thing. Others are living as though this veil has to be torn every few days, over and over and over again, in order to have peace with God. Each time they come, there has to be a tearing again of the veil. But God said he did it once and for all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think we ought to let the heavens echo with a loud hallelujah on it. Will you do it? Hallelujah. Let's do it again. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody says, well, we don't have to have cheers in church. I'll tell you, God loves cheers. Jesus did more than knock a home run for you. Hallelujah. He did more than score a touchdown. He literally opened up a way where man could have that fellowship, the most important thing of our lives. Praise God. So the Spirit today is saying, come. The bride is saying, come. Those who hear are saying, come. His church is saying, come. And then Jesus said, I'm here, standing at your door, knocking. Because not only does God want to have that fellowship and communion, but I want to have it with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Jesus, you opened up the way. Oh, Lord Jesus, because of your love for us. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Some of you have come this morning with such uncertainty, such a longing. Oh, if only you could reach him and have fellowship. But you've held back. There have been things that have stood in your way. But God is telling you now, the barrier is down. You can come. I had a young man in my office yesterday whose heart was so warmed. He came in. He says that he had been a member of another faith, but that Jesus hadn't been as real to him as he desired, and someone had allowed him to read the book where he read what I'm talking to you about this morning. And he came in and we had some prayer. I've been looking over the congregation, see if I could spot this young man. I felt God, as he's doing with others, he selected him to hear. Oh, here he is. Why didn't you come up here with me a minute? You were so too close for me to see. Oh, praise God.
It's Bob, isn't it?
This is Bob Lindbaum. Bob, why don't you tell these people how wonderful it feels to have that warmth in your heart? That fellowship again.
I have no words that are available to me to describe the feeling that God has given me, the rebirth. The misconceptions that I'd had in the past were completely lifted away from me, and God just showed me the way and the absolute truth that he has to show us, and he's trying to tell us.
Would you recommend this to other people out there?
Oh, most definitely.
Praise God. I implore you all to join the Lord's very God. God like it. Praise God. Bob, you have preached your first evangelistic sermon right now. Said he would recommend this experience to everybody. Now, we're going to have communion right now. We're going to literally say, Lord, since you opened the door, I am coming. And as we partake, these emblems are given to us by God to remind us of the great plan that he has made. And I want you to let the breathing of your spirit go out to him in a two-way communion and fellowship as you partake today. There's healing in this communion. There's life in this communion. Brand new life. There's hope in this communion. The darkness can be moved away. The liberation from bondage, from depression in communion with God, because he is the light. Hallelujah. There's cleansing in this light. Praise God. I'm going to ask our brethren to come right now, and we're going to serve this communion together, have this beautiful time of fellowship. Hallelujah. In the presence of our wonderful Savior. Praise God. This communion is not only for believers, but those of you who have come, who have longed for fellowship with Jesus, I want you to come. And by holding that cup in your hand, I want you to say, Jesus, my faith is not in my ability or my lack of ability. My faith is in what you have done for me. As you hold it, I want that to be your prayer as you're holding that cup. And something's going to happen to you today. A new birth takes place. God becomes real. A whole new day dawns for you. So encourage every person here, those who may have been following the Lord afar off, those who may have been like Adam and Eve, hiding themselves from God. Today, I want you to come out into the open. God is restoring fellowship with you today. Praise God. You see, when the Lord gave himself, his atonement was for all three areas of your life. He took care of your spiritual sickness through the shedding of his blood. He took care of your emotional and your physical needs by the breaking of his body. So today, as you partake, you can literally draw from him, of his life. Hallelujah. If you're depressed, depression must leave in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. If there are bodily afflictions, God has your answer. Praise God. Praise God. Every communion service, there are people who are healed just sitting in their seats observing this communion. Praise God. Praise God. Our last communion service, there was a man sitting right here on this next to the front row, that as he lifted the glance to his lips, the cataracts that were on his eyes that made everything seem like it was in a fog was blown back by the breath of God. And there's, it's still off. The fog is still gone because Jesus was there proving himself. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he wants to talk to you? This is so important to God. He took the very best that heaven had in order to make the plan that you might be brought back to him. Hallelujah. God, you want this so badly. And today, we express the same feeling. We want you more than anything in this whole life. We must have you, Lord. Praise God. And Jesus opened up the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.